Coming up on today's show.
So the Lord doesn't call us to do easy things. He actually asks us to take up our cross and follow him. The yoke is easy, his burden is light. So taking on his yoke.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. This only takes a minute, if even that long, meaning be sure that you have signed up for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. While you are there on the website doing that, look to, at the top of any page for that matter on the website, and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, X as it's now called, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Sometimes we really make things more difficult, or maybe I should say complex, than we need to, don't we? My gosh, look how in-depth the signals are from a third base coach in baseball, or what a quarterback barks out at the line of scrimmage in a football game, or their coach standing on the sidelines covering their lips with a play card that looks like you need an engineering degree to read it. Of course, they don't want the opponent stealing their plays. Which is unfortunate that we can't simply expect gentlemanly conduct and good sportsmanship. One could make the argument that they're doing it because they want to win, and then with success will bring more money, and gulp, thinking that that will bring happiness. Wow, that's almost way too much. Overthinking it. If you will allow me, the Living Bible paraphrases Proverbs 11, verse 23 as, quote, "The good man can look forward to happiness," end quote. And so, by the way, maybe you use this as your motivation to go look up the actual text in the New American Bible as an exercise to immerse yourself in Scripture when you otherwise might not, which is something I personally enjoy about doing this for you every week, as it does force me to go into the Word when I otherwise might not. But anyhow, in other words, simplify. Heed God's word, follow his ways, and seek the joy that comes from striving to be with him in eternity. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest grew up playing soccer from the age of 9 and played goalkeeper and striker for AC Premier, Croatia Cleveland, and Kirtland High School, and was trained under some notable former U.S. national team players. She also has received her youth futsal / indoor referee license from the U.S. Soccer Federation, and she served as the girls' head soccer coach at Braves Soccer Academy for U9 to U11 teams for 2 years. She now partners with Ignite Athlete Training in Dallas, Texas, as a soccer trainer. Meanwhile, she quit her six-figure Fortune 500 job in corporate America as an HR consultant at age 26, to start her own business, helping faith-based believers who feel like they've hit a breaking point in their lives or careers to discover their unique purpose, boost their confidence, and become the most authentic versions of themselves while keeping Christ as the focal point through mind, body, spirit, wellness, and connection. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Anna Chippa.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Anna. Thank you for being here.
Yes, absolutely. So excited to be here.
I'm trying to use context clues, and I think I have this figured out, but go ahead and tell us all anyway where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Awesome. So I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, and my family size was 4. So I just had a sister and my 2 parents.
And you were older than her or younger than her?
Older, by 7 years.
You are, in fact, a cradle Catholic, but, cue the dramatic music, there is a however.
Bum, bum, bum. However, I felt like I was very passive in my faith, where I felt like I was just going to church, checking a box, where I was just sent to Catholic school just because that's what we were told to do.
Okay. But the family was going to Mass every Sunday. Is that correct?
Sometimes. Sometimes we would go. Sometimes we wouldn't if we had a soccer game or a sports game. And even when we did go to Mass, I remember my mom, like during the homily, literally reading the bulletin. So we, quote unquote, went to Mass.
I see. Well, let's come back to your faith journey. Talk about sports for the time being, although as much as I'm saying sports, it sounds from that introduction like it has always only been soccer. Is/was that in fact the case? And for that matter, what prompted you to choose that as your sport as opposed to, say, softball or basketball or swimming or something else?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually started as a swimmer, but I quickly fell into soccer. Yes. And soccer is something that is huge within my family. I mean, my dad, he was almost on a professional league for soccer. My grandfather also played Division I in Germany as well. So we are huge soccer fanatics. So it's very easy for me to fall into the game, to love the game, and still continue to be involved into it today.
Wow. So I had said in the intro that you grew up playing soccer from the age of 9. So it sounds like maybe swimming was first, and then you fell into soccer, and there was no looking back from there.
Exactly. So there were times growing up where I still, you know, in grade school, still did swimming. But then once high school hit, I was playing soccer through and through. I didn't do swimming in high school or anything like that.
Okay, still in all, though, was soccer your choice, or did you ever feel like, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do because of this history that you described within your family with the sport?
Great question. It definitely was my choice. I think that my parents encouraged me, like, oh, why don't we try this soccer league with the Croatians? Because, you know, my family is Croatian, part Croatian, part German. And I was like, okay, like that sounds good to me. And once I did, and then my dad also became a coach through there, I didn't feel as if it was because I had to be there, but it quickly grew into because I wanted to be there. And I actually loved being able to meet all these girls and just learn a new sport.
That's great. And thank you for making that distinction, because audience, we do hear too many times, do we not, of parents that force their son, they force their daughter to go into this sport, and the parent becomes far more passionate about that sport than the son or the daughter, who wasn't really given the choice. So I'm glad that Anna clarified that for us. There are a couple of missing pieces to this puzzle, Anna, and I'm referring to the college years. Where did you go to college? Were you involved with soccer during college? And what was your faith life looking like, or maybe not looking like, during those presumably 4 years?
Yes. So I went to Miami University of Ohio. So I have to say of Ohio because people think Florida. But no, I went to Miami University of Ohio. I didn't play varsity or club. However, I did intramurals. And my junior year of college, I actually got involved in soccer coaching. So that Brave Soccer Academy that you see, or that we were talking about earlier, that's when I did it, was when I was in college. I used to be an assistant, but then bumped up to head coach pretty quickly. And then in that as well, when we're talking about faith life, my freshman year of college, I remember particularly, there was a time where I wasn't going because I always made this excuse of, well, I have schoolwork. I don't have time to go to Mass.
Mm.
Yeah, Easter Sunday hit, and there was just something in me that said, you know, I miss Mass. Like, I actually miss going to Palm Sunday Mass, going to Easter Sunday. So that's when I started going with a friend of mine. He ended up being my significant other later down the road in college. But that's when I started going back into church. And when I did start going back into church and whatnot, again, it really was that same kind of thing where, you know, I was kind of going to Mass. I kind of wasn't. It wasn't as consistent, but I started realizing, oh, wait, I actually want this to be a part of my life to some capacity. And it was a choice that I got to make for myself. I wasn't going with my parents. I would be going by myself.
Now, forgive my ignorance. I don't know how far Miami of Ohio is from Cleveland. So were you living on campus or were you commuting?
I was living on campus. It's about 4.5 hours from where I lived in Cleveland. It's actually closer to Indiana. It's about 15 minutes from the border there than it is actually in Ohio. So pretty close to the southwest portion of Ohio.
Well, but I raise that question because I think it's admirable that you drew this conclusion on your own, that you felt yourself missing Palm Sunday Mass. You felt yourself having a desire to go to Easter Mass as opposed to, now granted, yes, you did establish early on that your parents were not really super devout Catholics, but when a student is at home and just commuting locally to college, there is kind of the shadow of mom and dad and the pressure, if you will, to go to church more often. So I think that says a lot that this was something that moved within you and it was solely your decision, just like you said about getting into soccer. And I did have to also ask you, what was the timing of all of this as it relates to, there was a guest that I had on recently that we were talking about the timeline of when women's professional soccer started to be around. Did you ever have your eye on women's professional soccer or the national team as something that you really wanted to aspire to? Or was it, no, I just told you, I was already coaching when I was in college. I didn't have any dreams like that.
No, I did. I would say around middle school time frame, I had those dreams of even just playing college ball. So, you know, not only women's soccer, but college ball. But actually, in my sophomore year of high school, I tore my ACL and medial meniscus.
Oh, boy.
So, yes. So that was a long recovery. And then my senior year, I actually tore my meniscus again. So, yes. So it took me out of the game a little bit, and as well as, you know, college prospecting. But what I quickly learned, even after college, I look back at my experience of, man, what would have it been like if I was a student athlete? Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I was actually very fortunate in not being a student athlete in the sense that I could get still involved in soccer through a coaching capacity, but as well as getting involved in all these other things like teaching assistants, career assistants, like things like that, that led me to my coaching, my consulting, things like that.
Wow.
So again, it was not something that I ended up doing to be a student athlete, but the things that I learned in that season and was still able to love and participate in soccer in just a different way than I expected was such a gift, such a blessing.
Yeah, that's great perspective. I don't know that I could even count on one hand how many times I've ever had a guest in the more than 5 years of this show saying, I'm thankful that I wasn't a student athlete. So that's something new for us all to hear. Now, Anna, take us up to age 26 and having what sounded like a nice career starting, six figures, Fortune 500 company, doing HR in corporate America. Take us from college up to there.
Yes. So I say even within there, there's two parts to it. So I want to say post-college, okay, I had five jobs on top of my schoolwork in college, just to give you a picture, and it'll make sense down the road.
Five jobs all at once?
Yes.
All at the, oh my gosh.
You know, I was a soccer coach, and then I was a career assistant, I was a data analyst, and a teacher's assistant. You know, all these kind of things, they're great, right? But I was basically working 80 hours between my jobs and my schoolwork, and that doesn't even include homework. So you can imagine senior year Anna, you know, she had a job lined up with Ernst & Young with EY. They're a big four accounting firm, but I did human resources consulting. But in that, I had a nice job set up. You know, school was going well, but my life was in shambles. I felt super stressed out and overwhelmed, frustrated. My relationship just went down the drain because I was so disconnected. I was so disconnected from my friends as well. And for me, that was really hard my senior year. You know, it wasn't a relaxing senior year by any stretch. It was actually feeling like I was an adult in my senior year of college. So, you know, for me, it was beautiful to be able to experience that. That almost hit that rock bottom, right? I look back at it now, I'm like, wow, what a beautiful rock bottom to start to transform. And when I left college and started my job at Human Resources Consulting at EY, I was like, this is a new chapter where I get to be more involved in my community, where I get to create more work-life boundaries, and I get to start understanding who it is that I am. Who am I designed to be? So that was kind of my first piece of it before going into my second piece of it. So,
and the second piece is that after you walked away, or is it still before?
No, so still before. So the second piece of it, when I was in my human resources consulting job, right? Again, I was traveling to all these cool places and, you know, I started understanding, okay, work-life balance and creating these boundaries is important because consulting especially is a dog-eat-dog world. They'll take advantage of your time if you let them. So I was learning all of these things, but again, I was hitting this roadblock again in my life, especially when COVID hit, of what am I doing? Like, I'm trying to get all of my happiness by all of these things that I'm involved in. Bible studies, community groups, hanging out with people, having a different relationship with a different person. But I was still feeling unhappy. I was like, what the heck gives? I'm in this great job. Everything looks good, right? But then I actually realized and actually found this Facebook ad, crazy enough, that said, hey, is your dating relationship going really bad? Watch this 1-hour webinar. I was like, yeah, that's me, totally. And I ended up watching this, and it was this program for online Christian women for inner healing. And the thing that I learned was you need to start taking a look at yourself and at the mirror, understanding like how things like self-hatred, perfectionism, high performance and achievement, feeling like you have to perform to receive love, that you're not good enough, like how those things are in the driver's seat of your life.
Wow.
And how you need to rewrite those lies with God's compassion and truth.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Folks, I failed to mention in the intro that Anna has actually co-authored two books. So I want to make sure that in addition to hearing about jumping off from corporate America at age 26, which is where we are in her story right now, that I ask her about those two books. But first, I am so touched by one of you that made a financial gift to my ministry and just as moved by the really nice messages surrounding that, meaning both the note that was attached to the initial donation, but then also the really touching email that came back to me after I wrote to say thank you. I do have to note here that this individual did ask to remain anonymous, so I will not be divulging their name, although I did tell them that I would be acknowledging their contribution on episode 272 today, so this is me doing that. The day after this episode comes out, I am having a Zoom call with someone that I'm excited about talking to in terms of potentially exposing Catholic Sports Radio to a huge Catholic audience that they have built up through something that they are doing. Although admittedly, I'm kind of bracing myself for what this person is going to end up saying it's going to cost me to get access to that large of a Catholic list. I really, really am seeing the Lord's presence so, so significantly in my ministry lately, and I'm trying to not get too excited about where maybe things might be headed, but then again, I not only think I'm quite grounded in that regard and realistic, but it's also easy to keep my feet on the ground when I'm reminded that something like this potential opportunity I'm going to hear about tomorrow could get discouraging quickly as it relates to having to try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover any and all expenses associated with Catholic Sports Radio, since I am just a one-person operation, and not only is this not my full or part-time job, but I don't even get any income from doing this. If what I'm doing is helping you in your faith life, and you believe in my ministry, and you like Catholic Sports Radio, and want to help me potentially grow the audience, I would ask you to prayerfully consider doing what the individual who I referred to did, and make a financial gift via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. As this anonymous individual and other listeners and guests before them would attest, that is fast, easy, and secure, and also is very, what's the word I'm looking for, open-ended, meaning there's no list of amounts to have to choose from. You can simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Now, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or, as some have instructed me to do, just like I'm doing on this episode, you can ask to remain anonymous. I am grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Anna, you're talking to us about the point where you're 26 and what seemed to be this career path on the corporate America road, and instead you walked away from all that to start your own coaching business. We were hearing about the Facebook ad, but just walk us through what clearly had to be something you felt the Lord was calling you to, getting that vision, I assume, laid on your heart.
Definitely. So as I started doing my inner healing work, where I was really building this authentic relationship with the Lord, and I was actually having two-way conversations with him, like things that I would see and envision and hear from him and everything. It's just very different than what I was used to, which was just shooting up a prayer and hoping and praying and wishing that it would happen. And through that, I really got the clarity in who I am and who I wanted to become, the confidence by breaking those self-limiting beliefs, and then the commitment to move forward in that profession in coaching, and then continuing to build those healthy habits and routines. And it's the exact same process that I take my own clients through. How do you achieve that clarity, confidence, and commitment? And through that, that gave me the courage. I knew the mission that the Lord had on my heart, and I knew that I'm not really doing it at this job where I'm just sitting and doing all these Excels and PowerPoints. I'm not making an impact. And after doing some financial planning, continuing to heal my heart, I had that courage to say yes and leave.
Well, essentially, it's a leap of faith. And folks, I think I might have mentioned this as recently as last week, but from time to time, I have mentioned over the years on this show that if you go on the Catholic Sports Radio YouTube channel, the first video that I ever posted on there was me telling the story of how I felt called to a ministry that mixes faith and sports. And I talk about exactly, Anna, what you just said, the comfort that we all feel with a good paying job. There I was traveling the world. I was working in the Olympic movement for 10 and a half years. And on the outside looking in, people probably look at someone like Anna and say, my gosh, why would you walk away from corporate America, job security? You had to be making good money. But when it's not fulfilling and you just feel this on your heart, it sounds like you're saying that's what really turned the corner for you to say, I am going to take this step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to throw down my net and be a fisher of men. You show me where you want me to work.
Yes, it was definitely a surrender. I had to trust in the Lord that this purpose that he has for me, that it's going to ablaze. And again, I think when it comes to corporate America, it's so easy for us to stay in it because of the security, because of, for me, I traveled as well. I traveled every Monday through Thursday out of state. So I got to some pretty cool places, right? Hotels, you know, airlines, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's so easy for us to want to stay into that security, into the money, into the fancy gadgets and gizmos. But I realized that it's not what's filling my heart. It's not what the Lord wants us. So the Lord doesn't call us to do easy things. He actually asks us to take up our cross and follow him. The yoke is easy, his burden is light. So taking on his yoke. And for me, when I realized that, I was like, it would be a disservice if I didn't follow this, if I didn't follow this way.
Wow. So thinking about the work that you do now, since this is a sports show, I am interested in the part of your business where you say mind, body, spirit, wellness, and connection. Can you share with us about that focus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll actually tailor it to sports people as well, because I'm sure a lot of people who are on here are athletes and love sports, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a big sports person too. And one of the things I realized in soccer was how much of a high achiever I was, that I wanted to find my identity by looking good on the soccer field. Because if I didn't, my dad would say all of these things of everything that I could have done better, right? And I had this immense pressure to feel like I had to perform on the field well. And if I missed a penalty kick or a goal or something, to get super overwhelmed. So when we talk about mind, body, spirit, that's the mind part of it. Understanding, why is it that we have these beliefs that we have to look good, that our identity is tied into our sports life, that we have to be liked and approved by others, when really the person is the Lord, and he already sees us as perfect, whole, and complete. So again, in the mind, it's breaking down those self-limiting beliefs. The body, of course, is a couple different things, right? Not only like exercise and nutrition, which I know a lot of athletes really do well, right? But doing it in a way that's healthy. Oftentimes what I did, because my stress, and I was so burnt out, I had such high stress, my adrenal glands were totally wiped out, totally fatigued. And as a woman, that's really, really hard for our bodies, really, really hard on our bodies. So actually how to build a healthy relationship with exercise, with nutrition, where we're not using it as this way to like release our stress, or really, we're not developing a dependency on it. It's actually having a really beautiful, healthy relationship with it. And then of course, being able to release that stress that's trapped in our bodies. The book, The Body Keeps a Score, is a phenomenal book that points to that, where our body literally holds on to stress. So learning how to actually release that, whether it's through more of that exercise and moving your body, or learning how to stay grounded. A lot of times as athletes, it might be easy for us to stay grounded on the field or court or wherever, but it's hard to do it outside of there, where we actually relax our minds and bring it back to a place of groundedness. And then, of course, the spirit part of it is a lot of learning the Lord's truth and how he sees us, right? So for athletes, this is that concept of how we can, just like you're doing in this show, which I think is beautiful, is how do you integrate your faith into everything that you do? How can you learn from what Jesus is talking, preaching about, doing, and apply that to other areas of your life? And of course, be renewed in your spirit in that way as well. And building that relationship with him in the center, so that our relationship with ourselves, with others in school and work, can flourish.
Amen. Amen. So clarify this for me. You have partnered with 15 plus parishes and have given 70 plus keynote speeches / workshops combined to youth, young adult, and employee teams on mental health, physical wellness, spirituality, and small businesses. So clarify then, are Catholics the audience you're trying to serve, or is it more broad, and you would say Christians of all denominations. Plus, when I hear things like parishes and employee teams, I'm thinking you're working with groups and not one-on-one coaching. Yes or no?
Both and. So I do one-on-one coaching with people, right, where I'm taking them through the steps of clarity, confidence, and commitment, right? So very similar to the story I shared with you earlier, but I'm also working with groups. So when I'm working with parishes and ministries in particular, right, I have two arms of what I do. I do the coaching stuff where it's the mind, body, spirit, wellness, and connection, but I also do consulting work, my human resources consulting work that corporate America business style, often those structures and processes aren't in the four walls of the church. So how do you actually bring those in there? And like I said, a lot of the workshops that I've given, not only is it about, you know, team engagement, core team trainings and developments, all that kind of stuff, but then it's about real life issues that people face who are in the parish and ministry world. Burnout is huge. Ministry burnout is 2 years compared to a consultant, that's 5. Mm. And that's saying a lot. Being a consultant, I mean, you're working at least, if you're in like the big fours and things like that, you could be working upwards of at least 80 hours a week, right? So we have to look at this problem of ministry burnout, staff burnout, especially in our churches. Why is this happening? And what can we do to actually cater to our mind, our body, and our spirit? So like I said, I do one-on-one coaching with people. I do groups and workshop opportunities on consulting and coaching stuff. But then also when it comes to who I'm working with, I love to be able to work with youth and young adults because that's really our next generation of people. But anyone who comes into the door, I say yes to. And they don't necessarily have to be Catholic, right? I've actually worked with a lot of people who are lukewarm in their faith. Mm. And through our time together, they get to know Jesus. They're like, I've never heard and seen him before. And now through this spiritual, prayerful encounter, I've heard him for the first time. That to me, and it's so beautiful. Like for me, it's when I'm doing this stuff, whether it's consulting or coaching, you know, for Catholics who are in the room and who I serve, sometimes their faith is like dead in a sense, where they just kind of pray and know things intellectually rather than experiencing him. But then also, like for people who aren't really of the faith, right? What a beautiful gift to be able to work outside of the four walls of the church and invite people in back home. And that for me, I mean, between both of those, it's just a beautiful way to continue to learn and see how the Lord is unraveling, you know, his mission and his purpose and what I'm doing and just me just being a vessel for him.
That's right.
This isn't Anna's work.
Right.
This isn't Anna's ministry. This is the Lord. And I'm just grateful to be able to be that vessel for people where they can see and know and love Jesus and look at things outside of the societal stigmas and concepts and notions, whether it's about hustle culture or your mental health or how to have a relationship with God, just like all these different things to keep into mind to integrate more of that holistic factor for both mind, body, and spirit.
So powerful. So powerful. And folks, I'm going to put lots of links on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net so that you can connect with Anna. You just heard, for all intents and purposes, her open invitation to almost anyone out there. But I'm going to also use that to say, Anna, when you talked about I'll talk to almost anybody and I do this and I do this and I do this, it's like, okay, let's exhale here. Let's come back around to sports now. When you walk away from a job in corporate America and become an entrepreneur, you work longer hours, you work harder. It's difficult to turn off the work brain. But I said back in the intro that you did become a referee and that you are a soccer trainer. So are you, in fact, still leaving time in your life for the sport that you love and spent so many years in?
Yeah, so I don't do refereeing as much anymore. But like I said, I still do soccer training. And I work with Ignite Soccer Training it's not that it's every single day, right? But it's something that I get to be a part of when it's needed most. And for me, it's a beautiful way to still keep my sports life into what I do. And again, it's not that I'm playing soccer every single week just because I have had some knee injuries and things like that. But again, I get to be involved in a lot of different ways between watching soccer, actually going to Croatia this summer and getting to see the Euro Cup with my family, wow. right? Even though we're not, we tried to get the bid for Germany, but that didn't work, right? and then being able to watch my sister play, to be able to continue to talk soccer with people. And then, like I said, a lot of the soccer exercises, dynamics, movements that I learned through even time outside of the field, I still go to the gym. I still do Orange Theory where, you know, I'm sprinting, then jogging, or doing suicides on my own. Mm. So again, it's not directly through the sport outside of the training that I do with Ignite. But outside of that, it's just beautiful to be able to, again, be involved in it. And again, that doesn't mean that it won't be later in time. I would love to be a coach for my kids' soccer team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how to continue to focus on, you know, my mind, body, and spirit in different ways in different seasons. And I think that's the beautiful part of when you talk about intersecting sports and faith. There are ebbs and flows, and
sure.
it's how to, you know, move that throttle in each season.
Okay, I have one final question for you, but before I ask it, since I promised going into the break that I would ask you about the two books that you co-authored, if you can just 25 words or less about each of the two books, and then as I mentioned, audience, there's going to be plenty of links that you can go find more information for yourself online. But just, Anna, give us the 25 words or less about each of those two books before I ask you my final question.
Yes. So the two books that I helped co-author are Sacred Wounds and Tag Talks. Both of them have my personal development and transformation story. It includes a lot of my story about inner healing. For Sacred Wounds in particular, that actually includes 20 other Catholic women life coaches who have gone through their own inner healing and redemption journeys as well.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's close by hearing all about some of the different activities that you're involved in. I believe these are all through your parish. You sent me something with three bullet points of what you're actively involved in now.
Yes. So right now I do Encounter School of Ministry, where it's learning the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit and learning how to administer that for yourself and to evangelize and disciple others. And then I also lecture at my church. So I go to All Saints and I lecture there every so often, right? Every month or so. And then the career ministry as well. That's really how I started to learn what coaching was like, if it's something that I wanted to throttle in full time. And I continue to assist them and help them as not only a coach, but then as a leadership member as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Your plate is overflowing. But God bless you, Anna, for the work that you're doing. And thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. It was wonderful to meet you. God bless you.
Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, we're going to do a prayer as we close. This is one that we have done a number of times before, but I think it's been more than 5 months since we've done it. So let's pray this together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. and teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.